For this reason, we are going to turn to our book, Ezekiel, chapter 45. We read verse 7 through 10. Ezekiel 45, 7 to 10. And here we read. The priests will have the land, bordering each side of the area formed by the sacred district and the property of the city. It will extend westward from the west side and eastward from the east side, running lengthwise from the western to the eastern border, parallel to one of the tribal portions. This land will be his possession in Israel, and my priests will no longer oppress my people, but will allow the people of Israel to possess the land according to their tribe. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You are gone far enough, priests of Israel, and give up your violence and oppression, and do what is just and right. Stop dispossessing my people, declares the Lord. You are to use accurate scales and accurate ephah and an accurate bath. This is the word of God. Let me bring you to this reflection about three cases of longing for justice. Everybody knows that the international scene today is overwhelmed by the COVID-19 pandemic. What is interesting for Africa is that this pandemic will affect few people than what our hunger can do. And this is what people are just asking, and they are wondering, should there be a contextual adaptation of the lockdown strategies? Because everybody's locked down and some business are not they are not running. So people are just wondering, should there be a contextual adaptation of the lockdown strategies? Some human right advocates, politicians, even pastors think so, that this should be the case. For them, some ways of implementing the lockdown measures are raising the question of injustices. This is the first reflection, the question of injustice through lockdown measures and strategies. Secondly, 2 weeks ago, we could still hearing a posthumous celebrity whose death triggered rallies in many major cities in the world, maybe except Goma to some extent. This man is called George Floyd. His last words has become currently the title of books, the title of newspaper headlines, articles, comedies, songs, even sermon. Those words, I can't breathe. This question of systemic racism and all claims of the Black Lives Matter movement and the like is revealing to the whole world how injustices are deeply rooted in our societies. In our own country, the DRC, the Kamere prosecution and trial has become a pedagogical tool, as they say. This, that shows clearly how justice and injustice are tied, are closely tied to our human interests. The link between people's feeling, the link between their stereotype, political preference, ethnical alignment, court preparedness, and lawyers' ingenious or even mistakes could be easily discerned. In these three cases of longing for justice, in order to respect the so-called human rights, the disciple of Jesus Christ should put a coefficient that modifies our perception of injustice and guide our advocacy for justice. That coefficient is God-centeredness. That's why our theme for today is advocating for God-centered human rights, a new phase of discipleship and understanding during this COVID-19 pandemic. So this is the first truth we have to learn today. When our human rights are exclusively driven by a human-centered motive, they always lead to depravity, hostility, and injustice. We are going to reflect shortly on advocating for God-centered human rights as a new phase in our discipleship journey. The aim of this message is to highlight a biblical understanding of the human right. Let us come back to our main text and make a short comment. And here we are going to speak about basic human rights in God's sight. Basic human rights in God's sight. The text speaks about the restoration of Israel after many years of devastation and deportation. Chapter 45 focuses on land redistribution for common good to the entire nation. We read verse 7 through 10 that points at how the leaders here, the priests, ought to behave and have their legitimate share of land. I repeat, their legitimate share of land. Through this text, God exposes his considerations of what basic rights are. And there are two. The first one, God is exposing that the right to live on our own land, or the right to possess a land, is our first basic land, basic right. So there are three categories of people who need to possess land. The priests, and the people. Everyone should enjoy his portion. Because all human activities are done on the land, God advises that the first basic right is life. So, the first basic right in God's sight is life. The second basic right is justice for all. No dispossession, no oppression, even by the priest, but equal access to land by members of the community. They are speaking about the tribe. This is the members of the community, with respect to equity principle. When we read verse 8 and verse 9, we find this, that the tribe are not of the same size, So when they have equal access to land, they will obey also to the principle of equity. That is the second basic right, the right for justice for all, that is shown through God's command on not dispossessing anyone. He continues to say in verse 9 and verse 10 that there should be no cheating on people with wrong weights and measures. This verse 10 in a New Living Translation says, use only honest weights and scales and honest measures, both dry and liquid. I can also think here of wrong rates of dollars change and high prices to steal from the people. This is not what God requires from us. For God, the basic principles for the basic human rights are the right of life and the human right of justice. Failure in implementing these basic rights begets injustices that constitute deprivation of what we call human rights. We end up undermining this good social behavior and practices for justice among us. So, now the question for today is, how should a disciple of Jesus Christ advocate for this God-centered human right? How should a disciple of Jesus Christ advocate for this God-centered human right? There are two things that we are going to learn. The first one, as a disciple of Christ to advocate for human rights, we need to identify the missing point in justice matters. There is a missing point when we talk about justice. In the area of justice, we have been able to do tremendous things. We cry for justice. We give justice. We distribute justice. We receive justice. We fight for justice. We ask for justice and so forth. But something is missing. And that one is what we need. We should live justice. In other words, making justice our lifestyle. That is the missing point. That is the missing point in justice matters, to live justice. A human-centered understanding of human rights has failed to bring us up to this level. Only God-centered human rights conception can do this, because the focal point of justice is neither me nor you. We can then abide to what God requires of us. And this is what he says in Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He has told you, mankind, what is good. What does the Lord require from you except to carry out justice and to love mercy and to work humbly with your God? So, to do justice, to act justly, to carry out justice and the like is about our day-to-day life. It is not a sequence, but it is a lifestyle. So the second truth we are going to learn today is, living justice is the right prevention of injustice cases and the genuine way of promoting human rights and in our societies. I can just repeat this second truth. Living justice is the right prevention of injustice cases and the genuine way of promoting human rights in our society. That is first. Secondly, impartiality is a God-given ability, not a human acquired practice when it comes to advocating for human rights. God requires for us as his disciples to live in impartiality. And this is what only God can provide. Impartiality is a God-given ability, and it is not a human acquired practice. So, if we display, if we disclose the motivations of some of our human rights advocates, we can be ashamed of them, of telling them in the larger public, or even to victims of injustices, but that they are addressing. The DRC is famous in terms of undermining the basic human rights, but the way this matter is approached by some of our local and international NGOs, some church-related organizations and hospitals, and some private advocates, partiality or favoritism is often at the front line. The worst is when the advocates financially benefit from the so-called project at the expense of the real victims. Leave aside our justice and discriminatory manner of handling the injustice cases based on social status, political connection, or regional origin. Once more, human-centered advocacy of human rights is a failure. Our human nature is inclined to partiality or favoritism. Only God can enable us to fairly advocate for human rights. And this is what God says on this. Show no partiality. Show no partiality. For instance, in Deuteronomy 10 verse 17, he says, "For the Lord our God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God. Show no partiality and accepting no bribe." In James chapter 2 verse 9, he says, "But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as law breakers." Our third truth is this, the following. Only a godly transformed advocate of human rights qualifies for this delicate job in a society like this of DRC, where impartiality is yet to be ticked on the self-control menu. Let us conclude our reflection of this time. Becoming a disciple worthy of promoting God's centered human rights. Many cases of injustice are at our doorsteps. We are right to long for justice. Be we directly affected, like in the ongoing night robberies in Goma and the coronavirus policies of dealing with the pandemic, or indirectly affected, like in the George Floyd episode and the Camere trial. As both a disciple of Jesus Christ and a disciple maker, advocating for God-centered human rights is part and parcel of not only our spontaneous activities, but mainly our lifelong character. Always remember this, that the basic human rights according to God are the right to life through land, and the right to justice through good social behaviors and practices. As Christians, we have a special offer to bring to the human rights advocacy today. This special offer is composed of two things. First of all, a lifestyle of justice. Because we are the one living justice, not only making things like crying and whatever. But we bring lifestyle of justice. Secondly, we offer impartiality as obedience to our God of justice. This is the new face of our discipleship. And to sum up our reflections, let us be reminded of the following three truths we learned today. Truth number one. When our human rights are exclusively driven by a human set and motive, they always lead to depravity, hostility, and injustices. Truth number two. Living justice is the right prevention against injustice cases and the genuine way of promoting human rights in our societies. Truth number three. Only God, only a godly transformed advocator of human rights qualifies for this delicate job in societies like the DRC, where impartiality is yet to be ticked on the self-control menu. May God bless you and have a nice day.